I'm Carol Hills, and you're with The World. Fans of sketch comedy in Australia got welcome news recently.
They're back. Bigger, bolder, and blacker.
What's this then?
The new series of black comedy starts Wednesday, February 3 on ABC and iView.
That's the trailer announcing the start of season 2 of Black Comedy. Its co-writer and star is Nakia Louie. Louie grew up in a suburb of Sydney, but much of her work is informed by her background. Her father is a Torres Strait Islander. They're ethnically like people in Papua New Guinea. Louie's mother is Gamilaroi, an Aboriginal people from interior Australia. Historically, Aboriginals have been mostly absent from Australian television. In fact, Black Comedy is the first Indigenous sketch comedy program on Australian TV in 3 decades. In its first season, the show found an audience that reached across class, color, and ethnicity in Australia. Louie says she and her team were surprised by its success.
When we did the first season, we weren't quite sure what the show was. And we literally came together over an advertisement that said, apply if you think if you're a black fella and you're funny, which all like black fellas in Australia think they're hilarious. I think most people think they're hilarious. So we were kind of just, you know, the blind leading the blind.
Now, Americans are familiar with sketch comedy on shows like Saturday Night Live, Jimmy Fallon, and other shows. What kind of sketches are on Black Comedy?
Black comedy is a real mixed bag of sketches, which I think is what has made it so successful, because even though it has an Indigenous theme, it also has a real diverse variety of humour. So we have a lot of character sketches. We have these two kind of flamboyantly gay characters called Tittus, which is a term for like an Aboriginal term kind of around Australia for like sisters. So if you call someone a Titta, you go, that's my sister. And that's a term that has like a really long legacy within the Aboriginal gay community. So we have these two Titters who constantly try and one-up each other, and they're saying, what's this then about, you know, ridiculous things like dancing and eating and singing. We have the Housewives of Narromine. So Narromine is this very, very, like very small town in outback Australia. And the reason I know it is because I always used to pass there going to visit family who live in the bush. And it's based on, it's kind of a take on the Real Housewives show, but They're in Narromine. We also have some very good like satire, I think. We have some very biting satire that a lot of the time is, and I think is a mark of good satire, is like it's met with sometimes a bit more uncomfortableness and from non-Aboriginal people and a lot of laughter from Aboriginal people.
It seems like part of what you're doing on Black Comedy is kind of challenging probably just white people's notion of Aboriginals or Indigenous Australians, kind of trying to shake up comfort levels. There's one sketch that's pretty funny, the police team that busts up a house and raids a house and accuses the residents of not being black enough.
We've got reason to believe your husband's guilty of not acting black.
What? How?
He bought a Delta Goodrum album.
What else has he done?
He's been ticking other nationality on all his forms. He's been buying organic groceries.
Oh.
And he hasn't had KFC in months.
So Black Force. But that just kind of came about like through ideas being thrown about in the room. And that was, I think it's this idea of what an Aboriginal person is meant to be. And it's something that speaks to, like, I mean, it's a real in-joke for the Aboriginal community because there's lots of, you know, cultural signifiers that I think only a lot of Aboriginal people in some respects can pick up on. I mean, in one episode, they say, party's over, put the mattress back in the lounge room. And that's a real blackfella joke because, like, any Aboriginal house you go to in the summer, they usually have a mattress in the lounge room because it's, you know, nice to have a lay down and watch TV and have a chat. So there's such a lack of diverse representation on Australian screens across the board. So what Black Force does is kind of we put our culture there on the screen through a parody, but we're also reclaiming it, I think, and we're giving that humour, giving the understanding, like have it coming from a black perspective. Black Force is received so well by non-Aboriginal people because they think they get the joke and the references, because a lot of the time it's about class. A lot of the time it's about, you know, we make a lot of hipster jokes in those sketches, you know, like what's kale? It's the latest food on the street.
I saw one of your spoken word performances and in it you said, at this stage of my life, I'm so over my ethnicity. What do you mean by that?
It's just like I've had to tick a box all my life. My mum's had to tick a box all her life. You know, my grandparents have had to not tick a box. They lived on missions, I think, which are the equivalent of like reserves in Australia, except they're managed by white people. So in a way, you know, when you have to, on like every single encounter that you have almost daily for all of your life, having to declare your ethnicity becomes, it becomes, I think, oppressive. It becomes tiring. It's something you become fearful of. I mean, I still get into cabs. We have this really big issue in Australia of taxi drivers not stopping for Aboriginal people. And it happens every year. There'll be a really prominent Aboriginal actor or actress, and they'll be doing like a show about Aboriginal people and or about civil rights or something at like a really well-known theatre company in Australia, and they won't get a cab.
That story has happened.
Yeah, they won't get a cab, and it'll go to the media and we'll talk about racism again. But the thing is, it's like I'm not a dark-skinned Aboriginal person, and I get into a cab and I always get asked where I'm from because I can kind of pass for a lot of things. And I always get so scared to tell a taxi driver that I'm Aboriginal, because you never know what you're going to face. You never know if it's going to be positive or negative. Having to deal with that every day, having that be your kind of signifier of who you are, whether that be positive or negative, it's tiring. You can never be seen as a human, as just a person, as just an artist. It's always the Aboriginal one.
What draws you to comedy and satire as a forum for addressing these issues?
For me, it's my grandmother always used to say to me, what can you do if you can't laugh? And she was saying that, like she said it on the day she died. And I think laughter is, like, it's so potent to deliver a message with a smile. Usually, like, you're led by your emotion. And when you're led by your emotion and you react so viscerally, you then have to kind of ask questions about why you feel like that. And hopefully from then asking questions, that then leads to discourse and discussion. Whereas I think sometimes with drama or with tragedy, and my theatre work is quite dramatic and quite based in tragedy. It's quite different to my television work. I think sometimes the thing with drama and leading with thinking and logic is that people can opt out really early. They kind of know what kind of ride they're in for, and they can decide pretty early on as to whether they're going to go on that ride with you. Whereas with comedy, you can kind of take someone along with the ride and they don't even know that they're on it. So for me, that's why I love comedy as a tool. I just think it's so incredibly subversive.
Nakia Louie is an Australian writer, playwright and actress. She's a co-writer and star of a sketch comedy TV show in Australia called Black Comedy. Thanks, Nakia.
Thank you.